You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Here we are, November 3rd, 2022, and I remind you we are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. You go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA, one word. It'll take you right to our Rumble page. You'll see where you can push live. Join us in studio. If you do, glad to have you join us. And I see that many of you end up watching the program later. I appreciate that. Share it with others, will you? Share it and let them know about it. We don't charge, by the way. If you want to subscribe, we'll just make sure it gets sent to you every day. And the same thing with audio podcasts of the program. Subscribe, absolutely free. We do not sell your information to anyone. Now, last night, of course, President Biden was basically condemning Republicans for contributing to political violence. That was the main point of his speech last night. Not democracy. Not talking about how important the election is and how we all need to cool temperatures down and everything, but to actually agitate it more by saying, and I'm adding his quote, "We must with an overwhelming voice stand against political violence and voter intimidation," period. Well, that's okay, and I agree with that. And then he added, "Stand up and speak against it." But then he quickly moved into the various things about Paul Pelosi's attack, the January 6th attack on the Capitol Hill, harassment of public voting officials, did not outline any example, not one example of a political violence from leftists. The man who tried to stab Republican candidate for governor of New York, Lee Zeldin, back in July, a woman who apparently bit an attendee at a rally for Republican Tudor Dixon in Detroit back in October, a Marco Rubio volunteer canvassing for that campaign in October, viciously beaten by four individuals who apparently told him Republicans not allowed in their neighborhood. Oh, yeah, I hear some of you say, oh, it's another Jussie Smollett story, right? But it's a Republican this time. I don't know the details of that story. I don't know if you do or not, but if you think you know better, so be it. I do know this, that Republican General Don Bolduc was physically attacked by an unknown individual before his Wednesday night debate last night with Democrat Senator Maggie Hassan, Democrat. The general apparently was going on the debate stage, and as he was entering, I should say, before he got to the building, as he was entering the building, someone in the crowd reached out and took a swipe at him and grazed his head a little bit with their fist, nothing else. And it's not clear if the guy was a supporter of his opponent or if it was a crazed MAGA person attacking a general who's a Republican. The way they're telling the stories now, it's hard to find out. And I don't see where the guy was arrested anywhere. I don't see it anywhere. I've been kind of looking. In the meantime, we still have Biden last night talking about that every member that is running for the Republican ticket, for the most part, is a racist and threatening our democracy. He said, "As I stand here, there are candidates running for every level of local office in America, governor, Congress, attorney general, secretary of state, who will not commit to accepting the results of the election they're running in. That's a path to chaos in America, unprecedented, unlawful, un-American." But it just doesn't hold up when you look at all the Democrats that have denied that they were basically beaten by an opponent. They had to be beaten because the other side cheated. Hillary? Anybody calling Hillary? Okay. And, of course, you have this whole issue about crime, which they kind of want to look away. The crime that against Paul Pelosi is bigger than crimes in the streets, apparently. That's getting all the attention from state-controlled media, right? And granted, it's wrong and it shouldn't have happened. But where were the Capitol Police? Well, they said they had a live feed at the House, but nobody was watching it at the time because she wasn't there. So they didn't care about Paul, or had it been switched off? That's another question. And if they had video feed, do they not have a tape of it? San Francisco police did not have body cams when they went in to document what happened? Haven't seen any of that either. I do know in Chicago, they let a guy out. He'd been charged with a felony for allegedly having a gun in his car in the city, but they gave him probation. First-time gun offender, now being accused of robbing a pizza delivery driver using a gun. As you know, we talked yesterday about the Atlantic calling for a pandemic amnesty for those who made mistakes because they didn't know. They locked children down, they masked them and everything else, harmed our nation and our economy. They want amnesty. Well, now there's a Moms for Liberty group that says the teachers union boss, they want amnesty because they shut down the schools.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Good evening, everyone. Just a few days ago, a little before 2:30 a.m. in the morning, a man smashed the back windows and broke into the home of the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the third highest-ranking official in America. He carried in his backpack zip ties, duct tape, rope, and a hammer. As he told the police, he had come looking for Nancy Pelosi to take her hostage, to interrogate her, to threaten to break her kneecaps. But she wasn't there. Her husband, my friend Paul Pelosi, was home alone. The assailant tried to take Paul hostage. He woke him up. He wanted to tie him up. The assailant ended up using a hammer to smash Paul's skull. Thankfully, by the grace of God, Paul survived.
Well, I will agree with that. Thankfully, he did survive. As to how much of what Biden was saying are actual facts, I don't know. And the reason I don't know and you don't know is because we're not being given additional details and facts. And there's several missing elements to this story. There were reports in the beginning, which have since been denied, and coming out of San Francisco, and even police were contributing some of the false information, but maybe they had the story wrong themselves by mistake, or maybe, well, let me put it this way. If the FBI can be weaponized, do you not think the San Francisco Police Department, in the midst of California and watching over Nancy Pelosi's house, could not also be looking the other way or rewrite their story when they're told that? That's not going to fit our narrative. I'm not saying it happened. I'm asking. Do you not think it's possible? Well, of course it is. Larry, you're trying to start a conspiracy. No, I'm not. I'm just saying when you put the facts in front of me, then I can make a better judgment. So why don't you give us the facts? For instance, Biden talked about that the guy breaks in and breaks the glass to get in. Police initially report, as reported by journalists in San Francisco, they said police told them a third guy opened the door so they could get into the house. Well, where was the third person? Who was that? And then when police got into the room and saw Pelosi and the man being charged with assaulting Pelosi, originally it was stated like each had a hammer. And then the chief said, no, that gave the wrong impression. What I meant was that each had their hand on the same hammer. All right, I can understand that misstatement and how it's being construed. That's acceptable. What I still don't get, though, is when they say that Pelosi had to go make an excuse to go to the bathroom where his phone was charging so he could call 911. And then on the audio recording, the ones I've heard, unless they've been doctored, that can happen, he's basically saying, I've got an intruder. I know him. He's a friend. His name is David. Gave the guy's name while he's on 911. The other point being, why did he have to call 911? Most security devices that are put on ultra-rich homes nowadays, it doesn't have to be ultra-rich. We had one on a house we'd lived in 10-plus years ago. Not that big of a house, but if a glass broke, it would signal breakage of glass. And if we had it wired to go direct to the police, it would automatically make a 911 call if we weren't even there. And if a bird broke through the window, then they were going to respond. It'd be a legitimate reason to respond, but at the time, no one knew. And then security cameras of the house itself all around, you know they got security cameras, and they're not offering any video from those cameras. Oh, and then you got the Capitol Police said, well, we have a live feed on the house at all times, but we weren't watching it because Pelosi wasn't there, just him. And then there's been a report or an allegation that was the system even on or was it shut off? I'm talking about the House system and the Capitol Police system. Do you know? I don't know. Where are the facts? And then, even if the Capitol Police were not watching their monitor, would there not be a tape? Surely they'd be taping it. So then Biden, after he's basically set up the story for the attack, and of course it's going to end up, we know where it's going. In fact, the way it was billed yesterday, some of his advisors, White House senior advisors, said it's going to refer specifically to the attack on Pelosi's husband as a motivating factor. And we're seeing a lot of these horrible things recently. And he's going to talk about preserving, protecting our democracy, and basically suggesting that the Republican Party today, and he said it himself last night, is dominated, driven, intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans, and that is a threat to this country. He said that back in September. Last night he worded it a little bit differently. But let's go back to the allegation of what happened inside the Pelosi home with the attacker.
Where's Nancy? Where's Nancy? Those are the very same words used by the mob when they stormed the United States Capitol on January the 6th, when they broke windows, kicked in the doors, brutally attacked law enforcement, roamed the corridors hunting for officials, and erected gallows to hang the former Vice President, Mike Pence. It was an enraged mob that had been whipped up into a frenzy by a president repeating over and over again the big lie that the election of 2020 had been stolen. It's a lie that fueled the dangerous rise in political violence and voter intimidation over the past 2 years.
Riddle me this. How much did the big lie about Russian collusion, which we now know did not exist, how much of the big lie that the Hunter Biden laptop was a Russian propaganda document, so therefore mainstream, now state-controlled media could easily ignore it right before the election, how much of that also fueled anger and angst among the public? I'm just asking. But, of course, you already heard him say the guy was shouting out, according to Paul Pelosi, because apparently there's no audio of it, no cameras showing it, and it's Paul Pelosi's word of what the guy was saying. And maybe the guy even stated that in his affidavit. I started to read it earlier and ran out of time. But so if he was saying, where's Nancy, where's Nancy? And then he had said apparently that in the affidavit that he was going to, if she didn't answer truthfully, he was going to break her kneecaps. That might all be true. But just saying, where's Nancy? And, of course, he had zip ties, which were also found on at least one of those inside the Capitol January 6th. That in itself should say, this is an open and shut case, close the cell door on January 6th, and everybody that was involved with it and anybody that voted for Republicans then, today, tomorrow, 20 years from now. Because January 6th is going to outlive the cockroach at this point. Once again, President Biden.
It was an enraged mob that had been whipped up into a frenzy by a president repeating over and over again the big lie that the election of 2020 had been stolen. It's a lie that fueled the dangerous rise in political violence and voter intimidation over the past 2 years. My fellow Americans, we're facing a defining moment, an inflection point. We must, with one overwhelming, unified voice, speak as a country and say there's no place for voter intimidation or political violence in America, whether it's directed at Democrats or Republicans. No place, period. No place ever.
Those are good points. I would not argue the president on those points. My only point is, if you're going to bring up what you consider Republican-fueled violence, shouldn't you offer the balance of leftist-fueled violence? Oh, see, then that would be being more truthful and factual about the situation we're facing. There's again where they lose their credibility. If you're not going to call balls and strikes for both sides, blah, 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 go on and on. And in fact, in response to what Biden was saying last night, here's Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton in his response.
Maybe not democracy is on the ballot, but the Democrats are on the ballot. And that's what really worries Joe Biden, is that he knows the American people are going to deliver a resounding verdict next week against their ideological agenda. You know, you hear a lot from Democrats about threats to democracy. Democrats are worried about threats from democracy because the American people are fed up with the inflation, the crime, the drugs, the homelessness, the border. I thought it was very ironic that Joe Biden delivered that speech last night from Washington's train station, which is ground zero for homelessness in America, and has many shops that have had to close. Famously, Starbucks had to close down its coffee shop in that train station because of all the crime and homelessness. The American people are tired of it.
Yeah, we are tired of it. And yet the Democrats, the left of the Democrats, were pushing defund police 2 years ago, remember? And ignoring riots in the streets, remember? But now they don't really want to even say that word, and they say, well, we're talking about reorganizing police budgets. That means defunding. And we're talking about using more people that are capable of handling the mental illness on the streets. Well, that's a good idea, but if you're going to take cops off in place of them, not a good idea. And a worse idea is to send some young college kid that's just out of college and has a behavioral science degree of some type, go to a home where they're having an argument between spouses and go in there and say, I think it'd be wise to sit down and you explain your side and you explain your side and we'll find. You do not want your child to be the one sent in there. You probably don't want your child to even sign up to be on the police force, because they're not just ridiculed, they're jeered, they're mocked, they're attacked, they're ambushed, and they're never going to do anything right. And that's a shame, because that's the basis of our law and order. Are there bad cops? Hell yes, there are. Are there some that are cowboys? Believe me, I've dealt with some in Texas that definitely thought, well, I got the gun and I can do what I want, and I got the badge to go with it. I had my fair share of trouble with many of them down there, and I've had some trouble at another location. But the bottom line is, the majority aren't. Does it excuse those that go wrong? at all. But it's this slanderous slur that's thrown around that if you did it to any particular other group or race or religion, you'd be called out for it. But it's okay to demonize police. But again, in the words of Joe Biden last night, when you listen, if you listen between the lines, it's very clear to him. The midterms are this important. This is democracy here. But if you don't vote Democrat, if you vote GOP, you're voting for a party of violence.
We, the people, must decide whether we'll have fair and free elections. And every vote counts. We, the people, must decide whether we're going to sustain a republic where reality is accepted, the law is obeyed, and your vote is truly sacred. We, the people, must decide whether the rule of law will prevail, whether we'll allow the dark forces to thirst, that thirst for power, put ahead of the principles that we've long guided us.
Yeah, that is a delicate balance, and I agree with a lot of what he had to say. But again, it's tainted by the fact he's only pointing to one party as the issue. We're all in it together, even if you think you're on the outside. We're all in it. And then, of course, remember going in the midterms and after the 2020 election, as you saw numerous state governments start getting dead people off the rolls and cleaning up and saying you have to have voter ID, we were hearing, oh, it's going to be Jim Crow again, and it's going to be ballot suppression, voter suppression. Stand by for that story.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is the first time since the national election of 2020. Once again, we're seeing record turnout all over the country. And that's good. We want Americans to vote. We want every American's voice to be heard. Now we have to move the process forward. We know that more and more ballots are cast in early voting or by mail in America. We know that many states don't start counting those ballots until after the polls close on November 8th. That means in some cases we won't know the winner of the election for a few days until after, a few days after the election. It takes time to count all legitimate ballots in a legal and orderly manner. It's always been important for citizens in democracy to be informed and engaged. Now it's important for citizens to be patient as well.
So you're going to have to be patient. And he's not really that wrong. In fact, we've had some 12 million ballots already cast, and there are states that have said you can't count any of those early ballots until the end of voting on Election Day. Some have said you can start counting them on the beginning of Election Day. And there are millions more still coming in. But remember, we were told that the Republicans across the nation had been introducing legislation that was going to go back to Jim Crow. Remember Biden himself making that reference? And then in Georgia in particular, that they were going to be suppressing the vote. They've had record turnout in Georgia and elsewhere across the nation. But if you're going to counter their argument with a fact, then they're going to go the next step. And that is, let's shift the argument and point out, as Vox, which is labeled by media bias, is leaning left-leaning constantly. Vox writes, high voter turnout does not cancel out voter suppression. They're not going to accept the fact that, you know, when you require an ID, you're not suppressing anybody's vote. You're just verifying the right person gets to vote. Joe Biden, when he went to vote in his state of Delaware the other day, which has tougher laws and a shorter voting time than now even the state of Georgia, He walks up, and the lady taking his information says, "Do you have your ID with you?" She's looking right at the President of the United States. She knows who he is, but she wants to see the ID. Perfect. And so he dutifully reaches into his wallet and pulls it out and presents it. No big deal. Well, we were led to believe earlier that by the Democrats, anybody that had to show an ID, that was voter suppression. And, of course, states made it available. If you don't have a driver's license, they would give you a free ID of some type. You're going to fly on a plane, you're going to have an ID. Unless you're an illegal alien and you come in, they'll let you go. Just show them your writ of detainment and they'll let you on board the plane, basically. No, when all this is said and done, and yes, there will be some delay, Georgia itself might end up being a runoff election. Herschel Walker's been moving forward, but Warnock is still there, and there's a third vote that's pulling some votes away. So they may have to have a runoff election. They might have to do it in Alaska. I mean, things like that will happen. But if you have faith in the system, then you think it's going to be done correctly. That is the critical point. Do you have faith in the system? Let me take a moment to talk to you about our, you know, we are doing live stream on Rumble as I speak. I've seen more and more of you signing up and watching right now. I can see that many of you are watching. Glad to have you watching. Get your friends and family doing it. Let them know it's kind of like being back on TV for me, but again, I get to say and do what I want in many ways that I would not do on TV because as a news anchor, supposed to be absolutely unbiased. Here, I can say what I want. It's the Larry Connors USA program, you know. And so if you are watching on Rumble, I appreciate it. If you miss some, you can always go to rumble.com, see the previous postings. I see a lot of you watching because you can't do it at this hour, but you're listening on the radio, and then maybe you say, I want to see what he was doing while he was on the air like that. Well, yeah, by all means. I mean, I did something yesterday that some folks have already cornered me about, said, wow, I was not expecting that. Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, I'm sorry. If you missed it, I guess you'll have to go back and see yesterday's program. That'll be November 2nd. But I do appreciate you doing it. We were big on YouTube until they shut us off, so we're rebuilding. I need your help. Spread the word. Coming up, we're going to look at abortion pill. More women going for the abortion pill instead of the procedure. And what's the difference between that and the morning after pill? Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There's been a trend that's been accelerating, and the New York Times finally took notice of it. They point out in their morning slap in the face I get normally every day by their writers, saying that women in states with abortion bans are now turning to telemedicine to get an abortion. In fact, pointing out that just 2 years ago, about 250,000 had abortions in the states where the procedure is now banned or severely restricted or will soon be. And now since Roe v. Wade, June 24 ruling by the court, that now they're going to have a harder time getting the actual procedure. So they're using telemedicine to get abortion pills. Access to these pills is a gray zone for providing abortions coming up more and more often now. About 30 states request aid for pills or requests for aids, rising something like 200 plus a day since Roe v. Wade. Joining me now to break this down and understand the abortion pill and what it does and if it's any different from the actual procedure and the timing and everything else, and then the morning after pill, how that fits into it, Emma Waters. She's with the Heritage DeVos Center for Life, Religion, and Family. Emma, glad to have you on board. Glad to have you.
Hey, thanks for having me on today.
So let's begin. First of all, it's no surprise to you, I'm sure, that if they are shutting out in some states the actual abortion procedure, that the women then might decide, well, I'll just get them mailed to me. What is involved in getting an abortion pill mailed? Is there a consultation or anything like that?
It's a great question. So Aid Access is one of the main organizations that are actually based internationally, not in the United States.
Hey, what group is that again?
It's called Aid Access.
Right.
And so they actually prescribe these abortion pills, chemical abortion pills, through Australia that they then ship to women in the United States. You also have instances of Planned Parenthood consulting and then helping women get chemical abortion pills. But the broader answer to that question is that there's very little regulation, and there are tons of websites that have popped up since June 24th when the Dobbs decision was released that are promising to sell women these chemical abortion pills. But the problem, and there's actually been third-party studies done on this, is that a lot of times the pills that women are shipping are not up to any standards whatsoever. They're coming from unknown labs in Nepal and other Asian countries, and they don't actually contain the percentages or degrees of the chemicals that they're even promising. And ultimately, these are chemical abortion pills that whose job it is to end the life of the baby. And yet, even then, they're not actually regulated well.
So there's a cutting edge that has both sides there. One, it's not going to give them the abortion they wanted. And the other thing is, it could severely harm the woman taking them.
That's exactly right. So there was a study done a couple of years ago that came out with the grand conclusion that chemical abortion pills are way cheaper than even Tylenol. And so when you hear political leaders and pro-abortion advocates say that chemical abortion is the safe and easy way to end your pregnancy, this is the study they're referencing. The problem with this study, however, is that they compared individuals who overdosed on Tylenol and only individuals who overdosed on Tylenol with women who used chemical abortion pills. And then they decided that in the case of Tylenol overdose, that their chemical abortion pills were safer.
Now,
but I think any common sense listener knows how ridiculous that is.
Yeah.
And doesn't align at all, when in reality, chemical abortion pills are four times more dangerous than even surgical abortion, which already has long-term effects for the woman.
And you have to, that should be very simple to understand, because you're taking something in that's basically, it's basically, the way I've heard it described in the most candid way, it's an acid that's going to destroy the baby. So if it's destroying the baby, it has no limits on what else it can destroy inside the woman.
That's exactly right. So it's a two-step process. So it's two pills that you take. One is mifepristone, and the other is misoprostol. And so the first pill blocks the uterus from receiving the hormones that it needs to sustain the life of the baby. So
basically starving it, shutting it off.
Right, exactly. It takes away all the nutrients and basically starves the baby to death. Then the second pill you take around 24 to 48 hours later is what actually causes the contractions. And so this pill is only technically approved by the FDA to be used up to 70 days or about 10 weeks into a pregnancy.
All right, that was my next question. At what level? I mean, the pills are, even as an abortion pill, there is a restriction on how far they can be used into the pregnancy, according to the FDA.
Yes, that's exactly right. So it should absolutely not be used after 10 weeks. There are some individuals that are testing it on children as young as 11 years old, mind you, at later stages in the pregnancy. Or sorry, they're accepting applicants to be tested on as young as 11 years old. Whether or not they've gotten any is the question.
I'm sorry, you're saying 11 years, or you're talking about 11 weeks?
Oh, no, sorry. So there are certain individuals right now who are trying to test the impact of the abortion pill at later stages of pregnancy. And so in order to do that, they're soliciting women to come in and take the pill so they can observe the impact.
If they're at 11 weeks, right?
Right. Well, yeah. No, but they said that 11-year-olds can come as young as 11.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Now, that doesn't mean they've gotten it,
all right.
But they're opening it up to young girls to potentially test it on them if they sign the waiver and would like to participate. Now, I hope that they don't get any participants of that nature.
I do too. You're listening to Emma Waters. She's with the DeVos Center with Heritage Foundation, Life, Liberty, and Family. I got a lot of things I want to cover, so I'm going to have to start speeding it up a little bit. Very quickly, on one hand, I thought, well, the abortion pill would drive Planned Parenthood out of business because their main thing, they claim they're about women's care, but you can get women's care at a lot of women's clinic. They'll do everything except an abortion. But it looks to me like Planned Parenthood is already getting its hook into the medical side as well, on the pill, I should say.
Oh, they are, and they're currently under a lawsuit right now because whereas the FDA requires women to have an effective not only consultation but test to understand exactly how far along the baby is, and they also need a time to explain in detail exactly what the abortion pill is and how it will affect your body. And I mean, it's a very, very gross process that women undergo, but Planned Parenthood has actually been failing on both accounts. And so they have a lawsuit right now for giving a woman who was 33 weeks pregnant these abortion pills. And this woman, not knowing what she was getting into, ended up birthing a viable baby who was fully formed at 33 weeks, nearly time for like a full term birth, in her toilet. And so Planned Parenthood has gotten themselves embroiled in a terrible controversy because of how completely irresponsible they've been.
All right. Now, again, abortion is not a means of preventing pregnancy. It's not pregnancy control. I'm stumbling for the words here because I want to get the difference between that, the abortion pill, and the morning after pill, which if it's taken within, 5 days or so forth of intercourse, so if it's a rape victim or something, she can get the morning after pill, and that in most cases would stop from even the implantation is of the uterus, I mean the embryo. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. So what a morning after pill does is, if taken soon enough, it thins the uterine wall. And so it means that the embryo is not able to implant on the woman. And usually a pregnancy is considered viable when the embryo has implanted on the uterine wall.
All right. So let me break in here. So that's a point that a lot of people, that if they're worried about, well, the states are taking away the rape case, if it's reported soon enough and it's dealt with, then many might accept that, yeah, this pill would do it because it's not really a pregnancy if you do it in that time frame. That might end up being an argument that will sway some. I don't know. I mean, I'm about protecting the baby at all points if you can, but if you don't have a baby at that point, I guess. And, of course, the others would be almost equating to some women, unfortunately, have one or more miscarriages. But in the summation in the final 30 seconds, where do you think this is going to go between the use of the pills at this point and 30 seconds?
So at this point, the emphasis has been on a chemical abortion pill. And what we're going to see is really ugly legislative fights between states that are fighting to protect life against medical doctors who are going rogue and violating state laws to try to get women these very dangerous pills. And so our work in the future is to limit the access to these chemical abortion pills and save the lives of women and babies in their place.
Thank you, Emma. Thank you very much. Great summation. Emma Walters with the Heritage DeVos Center for Life, Religion, and Family. We're probably going to do this again. I'd like to have you back in the future.
Absolutely. I would love to do it.
Thank you very much. Coming up, Barack Obama on the campaign trail in Arizona and spent a lot of his time jabbing the Republicans. Why not? It's political season.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Some people don't know this, but apparently Carrie Lake actually interviewed me back in 2016 when I was president. She was a local news anchor. She was doing her job. At the time, I don't remember thinking that she was the kind of person who would push debunked COVID remedies or promise to issue a declaration of invasion at our border or claim without any evidence that the 2020 election was stolen. I guess that stuff came later because she found it convenient, because she thought, well, here's an opportunity to get attention. Listen, if we hadn't just elected somebody whose main qualification was being on TV, you could see maybe giving it a shot. What's the worst that could happen? Well, now we know. It doesn't just work out just because somebody's been on TV.
You got to give the man credit. That was a great piece of oration, ginning up the crowd in Arizona, attacking Kari Lake, the Republican, going after the Governor Hobbs position. And, of course, Obama was there for her, attacking Lake so Hobbs could possibly win. And not sure if that's going to happen or not. And the same thing with Senator being challenged by Blake Masters, so Mark Warner. But the bottom line here is that he's having some fun pointing again to Trump. How bad could it be? Well, now we know. Okay. You know, I'm looking at a list here. There's got to be at least 17 celebrities who became politicians on here. And by celebrities, I mean not just TV news anchors, but, of course, actors. And one of the most prominent, obviously, would be Ronald Reagan, who was a Democrat and then became a Republican. I will remind you that. I will also tell you and share with you, I don't think I've ever told anyone this, but except for a few, but right after I got escorted out of, is one way to say it, basically fired from a TV station. I had folks reach out to me asking if I would consider a run in politics. I don't think so. It's not that I had so many skeletons in my closet, which there might be some, but beyond that, I just didn't want to get into that side. I'd much rather do something where I can have more control and say what I want, and with today's woke culture, I would not make it as a politician. By the way, speaking of stars who think they have some weight when it comes to the elections and so forth, you ever watched the Netflix series Ozark? I'm sure many of you did, acting as if it were filmed in Ozarks, in the Ozarks, but it really was filmed in Atlanta because the state of Missouri would not give them the film credit to the industry, which cost them a lot of money, so they went to Atlanta and shot it, but made it kind of look like the Ozarks. I think they had some flyovers of the Ozark Lake. But you remember the prime character in it, Jason Bateman? You might have liked him in that. I did, too. He did a good job. But he is now, because he's concerned about the midterm elections, he's saying with the midterms on our doorsteps, two-thirds of the seats are up for grabs. Midterms tend to be won by admitted election deniers. Then that means the elections and democracy as a form of government will most likely be done away with or seriously threatened. That's what Jason Bateman is saying. So you know what he wants? He wants the president to use the EAS for non-emergency purposes, claiming, quote, democracy would be, quote, seriously threatened if Republicans prevail. Well, of course, as we've been showing you in the last 2 hours, how Biden was making similar statements himself last night in his speech. But now Bateman actually wants him to use the EAS, where we interrupt the programming here. Go to your certain station. This is not a test. We are telling you the midterms are coming. Did you not know it? Well, then you're an idiot. You should not be voting. God, I like the guy's acting, but I mean, you reach a point where some of these people just think, where are they going? They're totally lost. I do want to go back. I'd mentioned Rumble earlier that you can certainly get on board with us. We're streaming live when I'm on the air live at rumble.com. You go to rumble.com, enter in Larry Connors USA. That'll take you to our page. You can push live and join us. And in fact, since I mentioned in the last hour, I've seen the number jump. So those of you who are able to join us now, great. Again, if you miss it, you can always go and pull it up later and watch it. Many are doing that. You can subscribe. We'll make sure it goes right to you. And you can also subscribe to our podcast of each program. Quentin is on board today. He'll be putting it up shortly at LarryConnorsUSA.com. He's really fast. It won't take him long. So you can get it that way to listen at your pleasure or watch or do both. Share with others. I appreciate you sharing, spreading the word. I've got a post on Rumble that I want to share with you. This is listed as 12 Georgia. I don't know if that's where they are, but it said, Thanks, amigo. Well, I appreciate that, 12 Georgia. I don't know where that you're listed, where you're coming from. It doesn't show, but I appreciate it. I don't have time to go through some others. But, again, you can subscribe and you will get them. The reason we do it is just to give you another avenue to share and enjoy the program, and I do appreciate it. We are growing by leaps and bounds. You're making it happen. We're talking about expanding the program well beyond our current barriers, and God willing, it will work. And I have to give God all the credit for it. And I've told you, this platform is very important to me for two main reasons. One, to speak on behalf of protecting unborn babies, and two, to stop the woke culture from preying on our children. That it is time to put the woke to sleep. Put the woke to sleep. In the meantime, thank you. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.